What is going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with Keith Wallin over Zoom video. You may recognize the name Keith Wallin from Breaking Benjamin, which, yes, he is a part of, guitar player, backing vocals for Breaking Benjamin, but he also has an incredible solo career and a new solo album. So we got a chance to speak with Keith all about where he was born and raised, grew up in West Virginia, moved to Tennessee. We hear about the first bands he was in, like Copper, eventually joining Adelitas Way, starting a solo project, and then being contacted by Breaking Benjamin to join their band as well. But Keith talks to us all about the solo albums that he's put out, the first EP, how it was really piano and acoustic based. He talks to us about the album This World or the Next, and we get into a lot of detail about Keith's new album, which is called Infinity Now, and an experience that he had that really sparked the entire new album. You can watch the interview with Keith and myself on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it would be incredible if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Keith Wallin. Awesome. Well, very good to see you again. Like I said earlier, this is about you and your journey in music. And I can't wait to talk to you about the new album. And I love what you're doing with the solo stuff, too. It's definitely, I was listening to the earlier stuff that you had put out, and it was, you know, piano and acoustic bass, and it's just kind of built to a much heavier sound.
Yeah, man, it's funny. I've been playing music for over 20 years, and I started with rock. That was kind of my first kind of thing. And I played it for long enough where I was like, I think I'm going to try something a little different avenue. And so now it's like, I've been going so long now, I've like gone through the phase of that, and now I'm back to like rock again. So
yeah,
just back to my roots.
I love it. Well, we were saying earlier, so you're originally born and raised in West Virginia. Is that what I saw?
Yeah, born and raised in West Virginia, and then I moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, and ended up going to school there, went to college, got a degree in English. My parents were basically like, you know, it's always kind of a funny thing when you tell your parents, you know, I want to be a musician and play in bands. And
right.
I'm sure lots of parents are kind of just like, this is not really what I want to hear right now.
Yeah. They're like, what's the likelihood this is going to work out for you?
Exactly. you know, obviously the paradigm has kind of shifted more in the recent years where more and more people are kind of abandoning the higher education model.
Right.
You know, but
AI is taking over the job. AI's taking all the jobs.
exactly. So the model back in those days, I'm kind of dating myself, but back in those days, 20 years ago, you know, college, it was still a pretty good idea. And so my parents were like, you know, just go to school, get a degree, and we'll support you with whatever you want to do. Just get the degree, you know, have that plan B if you need it. You know, hopefully you won't need it.
Yeah, the thing to fall back on.
Sure, and I totally understood that, and I thought that was kind of a reasonable compromise to make. So
sure. So, but, did you come from a musical family at all, or are you the first real musician in the household?
I did. So my father was a vocalist. He was a singer back in the '60s. He actually had a, I don't know if it was kind of a like a single deal or something like that, but it was more kind of like crooner style singing, and his favorite artist was, you know, Frank Sinatra and all those kind of artists like that back in the day, and that was his thing. So he was constantly listening to music and you know, really kind of exposing me to all kinds of different stuff and just music in general, you know. So I was very grateful for that. And my mom, she was she was a dancer. She was like kind of a member of like a traveling kind of dance troupe that she would go overseas and
wow.
Yeah, like with a, it was cool. So they met each other at like a performance at a show kind of thing like that, where he was a singer and she was one of the dancers in the background. And so
that's awesome. That's really rad.
Kind of neat. Yeah. So I'm the only one that kind of followed the music path. My older brothers, they're super successful in their own right, but nothing musical involved. They love music, but they're doing well with their other kinds of business and stuff. So
sure. And what about, like, did you get into guitar early? Like, what was the first instrument you started?
Yeah, guitar was the first. I had a friend, my best friend growing up, and we're still just great friends. And he pretty much got a guitar. And every time I'd go over and hang out, he'd be playing guitar. And I was just like, man, I need to get a guitar so we can, like, jam. So that's kind of how it started. It was kind of like a secondhand thing. I was like, man, all right, let's do this. And he showed me how to play a few things and I loved it, you know. And then another one of our friends, you know, he got a guitar, then a bunch of us, and all of us, we had a big group of friends that all would just get together and we'd go camping and we'd be around the campfire just playing Pearl Jam and Metallica's songs.
Sure.
It was just amazing. It was a blast. It was a fun thing. So, and, you know, I mean, I wasn't really thinking like, I want to make this a career. Mm-hmm. I just thought, man, this is so fun. How cool would it be to be able to do this for a living? Of course, you think that for a second, but not realistically.
And sure.
The longer I did it, the more I thought, well, you know, why not? Why not me? You know? Mm-hmm. So why not me? So you just
kept at. Did you start a band or anything in high school?
No, I think the first band I had was with my friend who kind of taught me the first few things. We had a band my sophomore year of college. We kind of started this like kind of cover band kind of thing, and we got hired to play at like some different fraternities and stuff there at UT, and we would play kind of regionally a little bit. And then we really kind of was like, well, we abandoned the covers and we were just like, all right, we got to write some songs and really try to make a go of it. And that was a band called Copper. And we had that band for about 8 years.
Wow. And was that, did you both go to University of Tennessee then? And then?
Yep. And then okay. I met the bass player there at University of Tennessee is also. And, you know, we had a whole litany of drummers. We had about 8 drummers over the course of 8 years. We're averaging a drummer a year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's like Spinal Tap, you know, they just spontaneously combust.
Right. I always say, like, if you're a drummer, you pretty much have like the pick of the litter as far as bands go.
Oh yeah. Wow. you're gonna get hired if you're a drummer and you're, you know, worth your salt. You're gonna get hired because everybody needs a drummer eventually some point.
Yeah, I have a 7-year-old, and well, he was like 3 or 4 when COVID started, and we got him an electric kit. We're like, get some energy out, and
there you go.
Loves playing it, so it's not quite as noisy as.
Oh yeah, you know, that was a good call on the electric.
Yeah, my neighbors would have came over and killed me.
That's so funny.
But yeah, I mean, with that band, I'm just going off of the internet, and you guys put out like a few records, right? Like 3 records. And so you were doing it for, you set up to 8 years. Was that something like out of college? It was like, all right, we got a tour. Like, how did it really start?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah. We, you know, we kind of started while I was still in school, and then, you know, we all graduated luckily. And, and, you know, we were like, well, hey, this is, you know, let's do this. Just try to get some shows. And we were lucky enough to get a little radio love here and there regionally.
That's cool. That must have been a big deal, right? I mean, you're like, really, we got it. We made it. We got it on the radio.
Absolutely. It was really cool. And I mean, to be an unsigned band, I mean, we even charted, you know, we I think it was like, I don't know, we got like the low 30s, 40s or something of active rock being an unsigned band. And back then it was
unheard of. Yeah.
People were kind of starting to pay attention a little bit. And, you know, we played a bunch of showcases for some different labels. We actually had a development deal with Atlantic for a hot minute.
Wow. And
just couldn't quite get to the next level, couldn't quite get over the hump. And eventually it just was like, man, you know, we got to just try something different. And, you know, So that band ended, and then I had an opportunity to join another band, but just as a guitar player. But I just was like, I just want to do this. I want to make music. And I was thinking, you know, maybe I can get out there and like do some writing with some different people and make some contacts. And it was a rock band. It was a band called Adelita's Way. And I was in that band for about 4 years.
And that, just doing research on that band, they started in Vegas. Did you move to Las Vegas, or like, how did you end up joining that band?
Yeah, it was kind of, the person that really was kind of championing, Copper, with Atlantic. It was a great friend of mine, Greg Johnson. And he kind of knew some people that were still kind of looking for, you know, different musicians for different bands. And so we always kept in contact, and he kind of was like my manager for a little while there. And mm-hmm. he said, you know, there's this band, they're looking for a guitar player. You know, you don't have to move to Vegas. You know, you just live in Tennessee and just fly out for tours, and you probably write with them and stuff too. And it could be a cool thing. And they just got signed to, you know, Virgin Capital Records at the time, you know. And I was like, yeah, it'd be cool to be in a signed band first. You know?
So was that much different joining them? I mean, like being in a signed band, where you guys put on bigger shows or bigger tours than you had with Copper? And was it kind of a level change as far as like now you're the level you guys want, we're shooting for with Copper, or what?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, not really, you know, because I mean, we had played some pretty big shows with Copper, but I think there was just more consistent touring and mm. better touring that I noticed that was really the major difference. One main difference for me was I went from being the lead singer to being kind of just the rhythm guitar player, the quiet one. So I didn't have to say anything in the mic. I mean, and I sang backup, of course.
Okay.
So it was kind of different being kind of the quiet one in the shadows, which I didn't mind.
Yeah, going from the front person to kind of having to control the show and, you know, sing all the songs to, all right, now you're going to be over here just playing guitar. That must have been, yeah, a change, obviously, when it comes to shows and everything.
For sure. For sure. And eventually I kind of was just like, you know, I love these guys. This music's cool, you know, and the fans have been great, but I was not just fulfilled creatively or, you know, all of the mm-hmm. above. So it was time for a change. And right when that happened, right when I kind of wrote kind of a manifesto, you know, a resignation letter on Facebook, and we had done some tours
to the band.
Yeah, I told the band ahead of time I was doing.
Okay, you're just like, I'm going to post this.
Oh, no, I didn't just drop a bomb on them.
I figured you didn't, but yeah, so you just kind of let everybody know, with this thing, like, hey, I'm going to be leaving.
Totally. For sure. And you know, they all understood. And you know, there wasn't any bad blood or anything like that. It was just kind of like, you know what, I've done this for a bit. It's kind of run its course for me. I need to kind of see what else is out there. And I really wanted to get some solo music going and just really just pursue what was in my heart and what I wanted to say with music. And you know, I was kind of like, well, I'm not getting any younger, so I need to just kind of do this. And we have toured with a bunch of people, you know, we had so many tours with Shinedown. I mean, we did a tour with Breaking Benjamin and ironically Copper had done shows opening for Breaking Benjamin too, is when I first met Ben. And so
really?
I was in two bands that opened for Breaking Ben before I was in Breaking Ben.
So, wow.
You never know, man. It's like a small world and an even smaller business, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a trip. So you were in two bands that had opened for him and I want to know how that all came together with you joining, but so you, once you left, Adelita's Way, that's when you're like, I'm going to focus on kind of on my solo stuff. And so you went from being kind of the side guitar guy to now wanting to write your own songs again and, you know, be kind of the front voice.
Yeah. I mean, I missed writing the songs and singing them, you know, mm-hmm. You know, I knew that I kind of wanted to get back to that, and I knew that I could do that. Mm-hmm. And really creatively, I found it just way more fulfilling. I could write about what I wanted to write about, and there was no other person to argue with as far as like, this should do this. I was like, I have full 100% creative control, which is nice. Nothing wrong with collabs, you know. I mean, I do a lot of co-writing and stuff, and there's just been some amazing stuff that I've been a part of. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I love both of those equally, but at this time in my life, I was like, all right, I'm trying to do something here. But I wrote that manifesto kind of resignation thing, and Ben was actually going, he was right in the middle of all his kind of band drama and stuff, and he was,
yeah, because they were on a hiatus for a bit too, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it was like right at the perfect time where he was kind of looking for new members to potentially join a new, you know, kind of Breaking Benjamin. And he saw my thing, and I got a message, and it was from his wife at the time, and I was just like, oh man, is this Ben's, this is somebody, it says Burnley. I was like, this, I wonder if this is Ben Burnley or whatever. And sure enough, it was Ben writing me a message through his wife's Facebook. And he was just like, yo, this is Ben, you know, I really, you know, thought you were a great guitar player. And it was like, would you be interested in, like, you know, learning some songs and sending me a video of some of these Breaking Ben songs? And I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. You know, but I still was in the back of my mind. I was like, I want to do solo stuff now. But I mean, when Ben Burnley hits you up, you know, you got to kind of like check it out. Cause I was a huge Breaking Benjamin fan. I thought uh-huh. they were great songs and just a great band. And I'd always been fans. So,
I mean, that's cool to have, you know, a guy that you had played with as an opener reach out and say, hey, like, I just saw that you left this band.
It was amazing.
You know, do you want to, you know, kind of audition in a way, like send some videos of yourself playing our song?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was just a cool thing to, I didn't know that he would remember or anything like that. So,
right.
But I think it also helped that he was talking to the other guitar player, Jason Rao, at the time also. And me and Jason hadn't worked together before and knew each other. So I think that Jason kind of vouched for me before he even reached out, which was really, awesome. Yeah. And so
you knew Jason before joining the band?
I did. Copper had played some shows with Red, and we had done some writing for another band. We had worked on some stuff before. So there was a little bit of history there, and he's a Tennessee guy like me. Mm-hmm. And so it was cool. And he hit me up too. And he was just like, yo, you know, I got two questions for you. And I was like, all right. He's like, first question, would you ever consider touring again? I was just like, yeah, you know, and I just left Adelita's and I was kind of over it. You know, I was like,
yeah.
So to get a call, I'm like, well, it depends, you know? And he said, well, it's for Breaking Benjamin potentially. And I was just like, you know, hey, I'll listen to the man. Let's see what's happening, what the plan mm-hmm. is. And I eventually got on the phone with Ben. And Ben, to this day, it's so funny. Ben, to this day, believes that I wasn't interested. He believes,
really?
He believes that I just was like, no, I'm going to do my solo stuff. I'm not really interested. But how I remember it is I was interested, but I let him know that I also wanted to work on solo music as well. It didn't mean that I was doing one or the other.
You didn't want to give up what you had already begun doing. I mean,
exactly.
you left the other band for a reason to pursue the solo stuff, and
yeah,
probably didn't want to jump right back into something and have to put that on the back burner.
That's it, 100%. But Ben, he misremembers. He's like, he to this day, he's like, you didn't even want to join the band. I'm just like, shut up. It's so funny.
Oh, wow. And but, so you joined during kind of that hiatus point, and then what you guys kind of got, everything fell in line and the lineup is solidified and it's like, okay, we're going to come back.
I did some audition videos, you know, and that kind of, you know, opened the door to like kind of get in person with everybody. And Jason was there and Aaron was there. Sean was there. The band as it is now, they were all there. We all got together for the first time and we jammed the stuff and it sounded awesome. And we started just rehearsing. And basically I was in New Jersey. We were all in New Jersey for like 2 months rehearsing and recording. And I was just, I mean, it just moved so fast. And then before we knew it, like the album was coming out and then it was like debuting at number one on the billboards. And I was like, Holy shit. This is awesome. And so fast forward 10 years now, I've been in Breaking Benjamin 10 years and here we are. And, it's been a fast 10 years. So that just proves that it's just been a whole lot of fun. And I could definitely vouch for that.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, to come back at, you know, with a number one album. And did you all write that album during that kind of hiatus point before you came back? Or was it an album they had already worked on?
Yeah, I think Ben had about 90%, 95% of that album kind of in the can, done.
Okay.
And he just kind of really just needed one more song, and we all kind of threw in our ideas, and we helped write that last song, which was Never Again.
Okay, that's awesome. So do you, yeah. So now even with Breaking Benjamin, I want to talk to you about your solo stuff. It sounded like with Adelita's Way, you didn't get to contribute much to the writing process, or was you were just kind of guitar backups?
No, I actually did. I did write a little bit with okay. Yeah. But it was
okay. I didn't know if it was like they took that and they're like, okay, you're just gonna do this one piece. So you're like, okay, well, I'm gonna write my solo stuff, and then almost figured you would have to do a similar thing with Breaking Benjamin. But it sounds like you've been writing with everybody, all the bands you played in.
Pretty much. Yeah. I think it just kind of felt like, I was stale. I was in a stale state of my life, and I just needed some kind of change. And that was the best thing I could think of, was just kind of jump ship and kind of do my own thing for a bit. And then just another ship showed up. So then I jumped on
that ship. With the solo stuff. So you put out that EP, and then you had, was it just like a gap of time because of the amount of work you probably had to do with Breaking Benjamin, or were you always still kind of working on your solo stuff? I'm just going off your, like, the releases I've seen of your solo. There's a gap, you know, because of, I'm sure you were just busy as hell.
Yeah, I think I kind of poured a lot of my energy into Breaking Ben and just being the best I could be in that band. And not to say that I'm not still doing that now, but I think I just, I don't know. I put out the EP and the Allies EP, and I was good for a while. And then, you know, I needed some time between Breaking Benjamin and just all the touring, just to like kind of sit with my thoughts and maybe give myself time to be inspired to write some new solo stuff, which eventually did happen.
Okay. And you, like, with that first EP, obviously it's a lot different than what you're doing with Breaking, but well, now it's progressed to more of the rock sound, but in that first EP, it's piano based, there's acoustic guitar, it's kind of a slower vibe.
Yeah.
And was that just something that you have always wanted? You're always music. You were always interested in playing, and it was like, I'm just going to write what I want to write.
Yeah, I think I had. It's something interesting whenever you've played guitar for a while, you know, and you've written songs primarily on guitar. There's something about kind of plunking away on a piano. It kind of opens up your I don't know, mind in a different way, and your songwriting muscle looks at it differently, and I don't know, it's kind of a fun way to write. And and I think I just had a bunch of kind of piano ideas, and I recorded and produced that EP all myself, and really I was just kind of learning how to do that. And I knew that I wasn't really up to par as far as, like, I didn't really know exactly how to record drums and have them sound good and have a full band. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to leave this stripped down. I knew how to record a piano and I knew how to record my voice. So I just was like, made the decision to just kind of keep it simple and just kind of, you know, let it be. And I don't know. It was fun.
It's an awesome, awesome record. And I love I mean, the covers you've done, like the Shallow cover. I was like, damn, this is so good.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah. That song came out and I was like, dude, that's a cool song. And I was thinking, like, how do I do that? You know? And so I just was like, I don't know, I guess I'm going to have to belt out the chick parts.
Yeah, you changed it up a bit. So it's, you changed it. So it's still gender, you know?
Yeah.
Her.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, yeah, the chorus was like, cause it's, you know, it's the slow vibe. And then you just nail the chorus. Like, damn. Okay.
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, that was a fun one. I'm always kind of on the market to like just, you know, figure out a cool cover. I'm a child of the 80s, so I mean, I love 80s music and stuff like that. So I'm always like, "Oh, what kind of 80s song can I do a different kind of vibe on?" Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And then you put out a record in 2021. Did you just have more time, obviously, with the pandemic happening? Is that how you kind of got back into writing an album for your solo stuff?
So that's a good question. Actually, no. I wrote and recorded all that before the world closed down, before all that stuff happened, and it was on the books and in the plans to put that out in 2020. But then the world shut down, and I was just like, I don't want the year 2020 to be on this album. Like I just was like, that's just bad luck. And so I just waited that whole time before I put anything out. And I was thinking 2021 would be better, but I mean, honestly, 2021 was kind of bad too. So it took a while for the world.
Took a minute for it to catch up. And then going into this, the new album, I would love to hear about it. You've put out, I think two songs, I believe, from the album so far.
Yep.
And then going into this, was this a different process? I mean, it sounds like you had the other record done before 2020, and then it's like, okay, what drew you into starting to write up another album?
Yeah, I think with this one, it was, you know, I knew that I wanted to keep the rock vibe going, if not just make it heavier. You know, I have so much, you know, love and respect for some of these new bands that have come out, and you know, I just wanted to kind of get some stuff that would be, if not competitive with, but just live in the same world. And I'm such a fan of, you know, just the modern rock song and the formula and the, you know, the heavy, the screaming, the melodic aspects of it all. So I wanted something that kind of would touch on that a little bit more and you know, be a little more accessible to, you know, the fan of that kind of genre. So I just I was fortunate enough to kind of start a partnership with Rise Records, and I got signed by them, I guess, at the end of 2022. And I from that point forward, I just said, this is a real opportunity. This is an incredible thing that has happened. And I'm still speechless that it happened. That you know, they've just really gotten behind me, and it's been amazing. So I really wanted to put my best foot forward, and I said to myself, you know, I don't want to try to just go this alone and by myself. I want to be able to like write with the best people I can, you know, the people that I respect, songwriters that I just absolutely respect, producers that I just, you know, absolutely just like admire. And I was able to get in the room with some of these people, and they were gracious enough to lend me their time and their talents to write with me. And so I really went on this just camping, or just this, I call it not camping, but like kind of like speed dating, where you go through and you just write with all these different people and you just kind of see what you come up with. And some of those just really bore some fruit, and some of them not so much, but you know, you never know what you're going to get, but a lot of them just really, we came up with some cool stuff, and that's really the majority of how the album got written.
And, so did you find like a handful of people that you're like, okay, these songs with these certain individuals are awesome, and I love this route, and then just keep working with them? Or was it still kind of like you said, it was like a, you know, speed dating. So I'm sure there was songs that didn't make the album, and with the people that they did, were like, okay, we're in a direction that I want to go for an album. Let's continue and try to write more songs.
Yeah, it was like that. It was, you know, obviously some of these people are super busy. So just like, I'm lucky to get in the room with them like for one song. So, you know, you think to yourself, gosh, we got to make this count, you know, and I'm constantly thinking that way. And 100% very much checked in to try and show up prepared and have just, you know, concise ideas to build from potentially. But one thing I did, which I thought was kind of interesting, and it's amazing how much of an advantage this gives you when you show up for a writing session. And that was, I would document song titles. I would just go from just song titles. And so I would come to a session, I'd be like, I have this song title. There was one time I showed up, I had a song, a title called Crush Me. Mm-hmm. And we were able to just take that and just write a whole song and record the whole demo in one day. And I was like, man, there's something to this. So that point forward, I would show up to sessions and I would have a song title and we would just reverse engineer, you know, what it was about. And you know, obviously I'd draw from my own life experience and I was able to kind of come up with a whole complete kind of album, you know, topic. And that album topic is an ayahuasca trip.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
So I've heard a lot about ayahuasca. And you went to it, you did a ceremony and it kind of just made you want to write this album, or it kind of sparked the idea for it?
I did. It kind of was, you know, retroactive. I did the trip, and then later on, years later, when I'm writing this album, I'm like, you know, I started writing these songs and they were all kind of things that I remembered and being just kind of, you know, moved by whenever I was in the ayahuasca trip, you know. And for those who don't know, ayahuasca is a drug called DMT, and DMT is a part of it. And basically people go to the Amazon, you know, and they have a shaman and they call it medicine, you know. Right. And I can see why, because, you know, it's supposed to help you really kind of deal with all kinds of internal trauma and mental stresses that you've been through in your life. And you're kind of supposed to kind of work your way through it through the magic of psychedelia, I guess.
Well, I've heard it's like 10 years of therapy in like one day, or like one, two nights or whatever, however you do the ceremony.
Yeah. And it really is. I mean, I can't speak for anyone else, but my personal experience, it was one of the most life-changing spiritual, whatever you want to call it, things that I've ever done. It was crazy. You know, you basically just drink this tea and then you trip for 9 hours and you just see I saw all kinds of things. And so many of these things have become my songs in this album Infinity Now. It's including Infinity. Like, there's a song I have called Infinity. And you know, there's a song called Dear Father that I wrote about my departed father. And there's a part where I'm in this ayahuasca trip, you know, and I see just this light. I mean, it sounds so cliche. Like, I saw this like light at the end of a tunnel, you know, and there's this light. And then it was flashing, and it was like these figures were kind of walking in front of the light, and you know, and then this figure kind of comes forward and standing there between me and this light, and just made this golden silhouette around the figure. And I'm just sitting here Indian style in a room with some people, and they're all in their own trip. You're not supposed to, you know, talk to anyone else. You're just in your own thing. And I'm sitting here looking at this, and I just felt like this overwhelming feeling of gratitude. And it was just incredible. Like, wow, I'm so glad that I decided to do this, because I would not have experienced what I'm experiencing right now. And I felt like this silhouette, this person that's standing here in front of me, is like, could it be my father, you know? And I just felt like this gratitude and just love, and it was inspiring. And I wrote a song about it. You know, there's a line in the song, you know, through space and time, you know, I see your silhouette through space and time, you know, a lot of things. I have a song called Wolf, the Wolf, you know, the first kind of thing that I saw in this, you know, session, if you will, was a giant. This sounds crazy. I closed my, I drank the tea. Let me rewind a little bit. I drank the tea, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, all right, how's this stuff going to kick off? You know, how's this?
Yeah. Like, what is going to happen here? Is this going to be like a mushroom trip, or am I going to like totally? Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I was nervous, you know, cause I've never done acid. I'm not a big drug person, you know?
Yeah.
So for me to even agree to like do this was like a big deal for me. And I was feeling the nerves. I'm like, why did I do this? But I was so curious. That curiosity outweighed the, you know,
fear.
So, yeah. And so I drank the tea and I'm like, all right, well, no turning back now. It's in my body now.
It's go time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's seriously, it's go time now. And, you know, and everybody that was there in the room, it wasn't a whole lot of people. It was a handful of people. My wife included, she was there.
Oh,
and
wow.
everybody had like a pot, like a pot to cook in. They had it in front of them in case they got ill.
Yeah, because a lot of people throw up, right? Yes, you get really sick.
They call it the purge. Apparently, you're supposed to deal with your stuff, and then you barf, and then you're fine.
Yeah, you like barf. Right, you barf out your traumas, I think.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I drink this tea, and again, you're not supposed to talk or interact with anyone. I drink this tea. It's about 5 minutes in. And I mean, I look over at my wife and she's like bawling. She's like in her pot and she's like upset and bawling. And I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, oh no. What is about to fucking happen here? And eventually I just kind of stayed calm and I'm like closing my eyes. And the shaman, who was just this wonderful lady, was there and she brought the stuff, you know, and she takes some too, and she's kind of a part of it, and she's kind of there to kind of guide you through it, you know. Mm. So I'm like, okay. And then I close my eyes again and I see a giant yellow just eyeball like right in my face, and I'm just like, what the hell? And it slowly started to like pan back and slowly kind of pan back away from my face. And it was just a wolf's face, just like looking right at me, like dead in the face.
Oh my! Were you terrified, or were you?
I wasn't terrified, but I just was like, where did this come from? Like, why am I seeing this? I mean, it was powerful and beautiful, and just I you know, it was just like crazy. And so that was like the first kind of vision that I got, and yeah. And there's a bunch of other things too. I mean, there's one point where I was, you know, and cause you bring a pillow cause it lasts 9 hours, it goes all night. So at some sort of, you know, time in the night, you're like, all right, maybe I should like lay down. So everybody's got a blanket and a pillow. And, so I laid down, I'm like, you know, and you go through all the things, you know, you gives you anxiety at some point. Cause you're just like, man, whenever I feel nauseous, it makes me anxious. It's like a horrible feeling. And so I eventually got nauseous and I eventually was just like, God, I don't feel good. And so I was just like, maybe I'll lay down. So I like laid down and I instantly felt like I was up against the ceiling of a cathedral. And I'm just like pressed up against the ceiling of a cathedral. I'm like, what the hell is happening? And I like start to float down into the cathedral. And I'm just floating in a cathedral and I'm looking at the ceiling, and then the roof just flies off of the cathedral and it's just the Milky Way. So I'm in the middle of this building with the roof has been torn away, and I just see the Milky Way and I'm just floating there. And I'm like, I couldn't make that up. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what it means.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talk about it. I've never done it, but I've heard other, and it's just so intriguing. And like, you know, people, you see these things. Like, I knew a guy that was like a full on atheist, and he was like, I believe in something. There's a higher power out there. And I was like, oh my, like, that's crazy. I mean, yeah, to have those experiences. Rad.
I was grateful. I was very grateful. And that is something I took away, was just that, you know, we are all connected. We are all connected in some way. I don't understand how or why, but I really felt like there was a connection of all things. Not to, you know, sound too out of pocket here, but
it sounds like it. Yeah, really influenced the album. I mean, 100%. At one point or another, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. There's yeah, all the songs kind of have like a little reference to a little. A piece of that experience. So
wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy. And then your wife did it as well too at the same time. I mean,
yeah, she did. She had her own journey, I had my own journey, you know, everybody else, you know, at the end of it, you know, we all kind of you know, talked about it a little bit and kind of what we saw. And I mean, at one point the shaman was talking, she was like right across from me, and And, you know, we're sitting there, we've got our eyes closed, and she's like chanting and saying stuff. And at one point it sounded like she was like way over here. And I like opened my eyes and I looked and I'm like, nope, she's still right in front of me. So I'm like, what the hell?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Brain is insane, man. I mean, we use like such a small proportion of it, and to have everything kind of, I don't know, man. It's so intriguing and it's so interesting. So I appreciate you telling me all that. That's really, that's really a cool story. And then you've all, just to kind of change gears with the album and everything, you've been playing your solo stuff and then almost essentially opening, right, for Breaking Benjamin, or you have that coming up, and then you're doing double duty, or?
Yeah, we just finished a tour. Yeah, I've been opening for myself, as Ben likes to say. He's like, oh, so he'll get on the mic. He's like, so Keith, you wanna thank the opening band?
That's pretty good.
Like, you're gonna thank yourself.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, it's great. We just finished this acoustic tour, mm-hmm. and yes, I was slated to open. So it was myself and then Breaking Ben acoustic. And I've done one show with the full band opening for Breaking Ben too. And I'm sure there's going to be more where, you know, it's like, hey, we've got a handful of shows with Breaking Benjamin. You know, we don't really know who to get. Would you want to do it? Because, you know, they're all about helping me also, which is amazing. Right. The support that Ben and the band has given me has been amazing. But also, and I want to make this a point to say this, is I don't want to, I want to make it, you know, I want to have this solo thing go and have whatever success it may have. I want it to be on its own merit. You know, I don't want it to be any kind of like, you know, Keith of Breaking Benjamin or anything. I mean, I know that marketing side of things, that people have to market it that way, but it would not be my first choice. You know, I don't want it to be just that kind of thing, you know, where I'm just kind of like the tag along. I don't know.
Right. No, I 100% hear you. And what you've done and what you're doing with these songs and your solo stuff, I mean, it speaks for itself. And it's not like, I don't know, it doesn't sound like Breaking Benjamin. It's awesome. It's great. And even if you weren't a part of the band, if I heard this, I'd be like, damn, this is a really cool record, or this guy's got it. This is awesome. And to have Rise sign you just is like, no, we think this is dope. Like, they, you know, they've been around forever. They don't have to, you know, pick anyone they need. Right.
I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, I'm incredibly grateful, and man, I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough for saying that. And yeah, I really appreciate that. I mean, obviously I appreciate any love I get from someone, you know, but there are times where I'll read stuff online. I mean, being online is just, it can be toxic. You can read mm-hmm. stuff, and I just have a bad habit of just absorbing too much of it. And, you know, I'll see one little thing where it's just like, you sound just like Ben. You're trying to sound like Breaking Benjamin. And I'm just like, you know, I don't sound anything like
him. You don't sound anything like him.
I mean, that's my opinion. But what do I know? Maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm too close to the situation to tell the difference. But I mean, I feel like I've been playing music long enough to know the difference between a sound and a voice, you know. 100%. So it means the world to me that you're like, nah, you got your own thing. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no. I'm going to be 100% honest with you right now. So I saw that, you know, I was like, oh, cool. Cause I've worked with Adam Splitter a lot, and I love them. I love everybody over there. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, I was like, oh, Keith Wan. And I like clicked on your Instagram, and I just looked at I didn't read the press release, like right when I saw that that we were going to talk. Right. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And it was just like Keith Wallen. All right. Right. And then I went on to Spotify and I'm listening to song. Damn, this is really good. And I didn't realize until like yesterday that you were Keith from Breaking Benjamin. Oh, so shit. I was already like, and I'm sorry. Like, I know.
Even better.
I was like, and that's why I wanted to bring it to you. Cause I was like, oh, I'm an idiot. Like, and then it all made sense. I'm like, oh, okay. I knew the name, but I'm listening to it. Cause I just searched your name on Spotify, and I was like, damn, this is really cool. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh shit, he's in Breaking Benjamin too.
That's perfect. Yeah.
So no, I truly liked the record, and I didn't put together that you were in the band until literally yesterday. So
dude, that's
I apologize
awesome.
For that.
Oh no, no. And like I said, man, I appreciate it, man. Yeah. It's been such an exciting thing to get to release just new music. You know, I've told people before, you know, there's such a crazy feeling when you're about to release new music, and you know, it's a perfect little combination of excitement, but also just like being terrified, because mm-hmm. you know, you're just releasing it. So, but at some point, you know, you're just kind of like, you know what, I've done the due diligence, I've worked really hard on this. You just kind of got to accept it and just let it go and let it go out into the world. And that's it, you know, and then just try to play your ass off, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And the album comes out in May though, right? It's got you got a couple months.
It does. It comes out May 3rd. You know, the first single, Strings, mm-hmm. Like you said, came out about a month ago. Headspace Holiday just came out Friday. And there's one more, there's a couple more songs. Another song coming out in a month. That one's called The Wolf.
Okay. And that's the one we talked about with the ayahuasca.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I wrote this one with two talented writers in Nashville. And it's funny. They kind of had this idea, and they let me hear it. And I'm like, man, this is so funny and so amazing that this is a thing. And so we were able to kind of finish it up, and so I'm stoked, you know. And there's a few other songs, like I said, that kind of tie everything in. And I'm really excited for people to hear it. And hopefully they won't be too judgmental of my super crazy trip.
No,
hopefully they're not
awesome,
too
man.
Hard on me for taking some psychedelics. But
I don't think anyone would. It's yeah. It was like it's I've heard people talk about. Yeah, well, it's like, yeah, exactly. I'm in AA, I'm in recovery, and I've heard other people talk about like doing it, because they're like, well, it's not like I'm doing it to just get high and like at, like recreationally have a good time. It's like you're 100%. Literally doing it for like a therapeutic.
Oh yeah,
like, reasoning, right? I mean, yeah. There's difference between doing something just to get messed up and doing something because it's like you're trying to benefit your life, but. That's 100%. Just my opinion, but
yeah, no, me too, man. You know, I think it's more beneficial than harmful for sure.
Right. You're not going out and doing it every night. You're like, all right, guys, we're going to ayahuasca tonight and then hit up the bar.
You know what I mean? Oh my God. And I mean, and that's another thing. It's like, would I do it again? Probably not. Probably not. Right. I feel like, you know, I saw what I needed to see. I was shown what I needed to see. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Yeah. It's not recreational thing.
I will say, I wonder what I would see next time, but you know, I think I'm good.
Yeah. Are you going to do a tour to support it? And I'm in Nashville too. So I was going to see if you're going to come through here and do a show.
Dude, I am trying to, I'm submitting for all kinds of tours coming up, you know,
cool.
And it's not just big bands. It's whoever I can get at this point. I don't care. I just, you know, I'm ready to just get in a van and get back in a van. And
yeah, I was going to say, maybe it's been a minute since you've been had to deal with the van.
Dude, it's the funniest thing. I was thinking, I was like, man, I'm going to hate this because I've been in a tour bus for 10 years with Breaking Ben, but I've done a few solo shows again back in the van, and I literally was like slept on a tire iron one night.
Oh man.
We'd hit a bump and it was like ding, like right next to my head. I'm like, oh shit. But dude, I just love it, man. I live for it. And besides, like I get to kind of do the van thing, and then Breaking Ben, I go back in the tour bus and then back into the van. So I get the best of both worlds. I get the full experience. And again, I'm just so grateful to be able to just do this. And yeah, I live for it. So
love it, man. Well, I hope you come through Nashville soon. I would love to check out this project.
Yeah, man, dude, I would love to. Like I said, I'm trying to get on some tours, and you know, I'm sure I'll be playing Nashville at least sometime in the next year or 2 years sometime.
Yeah.
So please come out. And I don't know if you know my, my, managers contact Jerome.
I worked with Shane and Amy at Adam Splitter for this interview through you.
Okay. She should probably have it too, because she's sent him all this stuff, and then he sent me all the stuff.
Okay, cool. I work with her all the time, and I've worked with other artists on my neighbors in the Memphis Mayfire, and they're on Rise.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. I love those guys, Maddie and them. Yeah,
yeah. Maddie's my neighbor. He lives like across the main street from me.
Do you know Cody as well?
Yeah, Cody from Wage War. Yeah. I've had both of them on here. It was wild. Like when I had Maddie on, I'd never met him, and we're doing this. And I asked him where he's from. He's like, "Oh, I live in Spring Hill, Tennessee." And I'm like, "What? That's where I live." And he's like, "Really?" And he's like, after the call. And then he went on. He's like, "What's your address?" He's like, "Dude, you live like 0.3 of a mile from me." And then I had just interviewed Cody. So he gets on FaceTime with Cody. He's like, "Look who I'm talking." It was like the most crazy thing. So I've hung out with all of them together a handful of times now that we're all neighbors.
Dude, that is amazing. Wow. It was
a trip.
Yeah. God. Dude, that's so great. Yeah. Cody co-wrote Headspace Holiday with me.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. My brand new single just came out. Yeah, man. So
he's doing cool shit. I mean, he's working with a lot of different people, like co-writing and stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe he's always been doing that, but with Wage War, obviously, he's got a lot of time to do that.
Yeah.
And he co-wrote a lot on the new Memphis album too.
Uh-huh. Dude, all those guys are so talented. So, you know, any chance I get to just be associated with them. So,
well, Keith, I appreciate you so much. Thank you again for doing this. Thanks for coming back and jumping on. I have one more question for you. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Well, first off, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure and an honor. Advice for some artists, you know, I would say if this is something that you really want to do, and this, I'm a testament to this too. I had many of opportunities to just call it quits and to just be like, man, this is not working out. There was a bunch of times where I had nothing but just doors closing in my face and no encouragement from anyone to keep doing this and to keep making music a reality. And I would say to just believe in yourself and really just never give up. If this is what you want to do, you have to really make sacrifices and think about it and think about what you need to do to get to the next level and plan and think about it that way. You know, I believe in kind of manifesting things. And, you know, if you're looking for the color red, you're going to see the color red somewhere coming up. So if you're looking to have a career with music, you're going to get there. I really believe it. So I would say to believe in yourself and not give up and really try to put your best foot forward as far as your recordings and your songwriting and stuff. Make sure it's of quality, because, you know, if you're letting somebody hear something for the first time, that's the first impression. It better sound as good as it can sound. So that would be it, you know?